Welcome to the Overdrive, with Davey, the most electrifying, impartial, educational, and entertaining show on radio. The Overdrive with Davey on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Once again, we want to say good afternoon again, Trinidad and Tobago. Just about 23 minutes on the upswing to the hour of 5 o'clock. And we have in studio with me the Vice President of the Trinidad and Tobago Unified Teachers Association, Mr. Adish Dwarka. Good afternoon to you, sir.
A pleasant good afternoon to you,
bring the mic a little closer to you. Let's bring it in. Right. Good afternoon.
A pleasant good afternoon to you, Davey, and all the listeners at Freedom 106.5 FM.
Yes. How are you doing, sir?
Tired.
I would imagine. Quite an accolade here with you, man. It's a lot of years of teaching.
Yes, actually on Sunday I would have completed my 32nd year in teaching.
Wow, you've been doing this a long time, huh?
Yeah.
So I could imagine when you see what's taking place with students in schools. That you was around when there was corporal punishment, right?
Yes, I started in 1992. So
licks was still a thing in school. I remember that licks was people still getting licks. So you would have been part of that transition to see that whole corporal punishment dwindle away, and what students have become now.
Yes, definitely.
You know. You want to share any thoughts on that very quickly?
Well,
come up a little closer to the mic.
Yeah. Well, actually, that is right in terms of where I am, because I'm a dean.
Oh, God.
My substantive position at the school system is a dean secondary at the Aranglers Don Secondary School. So even when I started teaching way back in 1992, right, I immediately became a dean because I left the Trinidad and Tobago Prison Service System and entered into the teaching. So I had
You went from one man also to the next. What make you leave the prison to come and teach, but you like teaching so much, but?
Well, one of the reasons and the rationale behind the change was that I wanted to come and empower the young people so that they don't end up in the prison system of Trinidad and Tobago.
Well said. I still one man also to the next, because I tell you, I'm a special kind of individual to be a teacher. Eh? You had to be a special teachers, even the barber. I try to cut my son here, I don't know why I do. So you had to have a special kind of gift to do them things. I mean, we had to make light of the situation based on what we're seeing. I mean, one student was stabbed. We have students dying at the hands of other students in fights, you know. So I could just imagine. I remember long time when I say going by the dean. Woo! Man quaking.
Yeah, that transition from 2002, when there was that transition from corporal punishment into what it is now. I mean, I don't want to say we are reaping the rewards of that.
Yep, we are.
But definitely.
I will say it for you. We are.
Definitely, that transition into what we are now has been very difficult for teachers, for members in the system who have to treat with these rules and these laws now that you cannot speak loudly because of vocal or abuse, things like that. So that creates a problem. Yes.
You can't even shout that. I'm going to send it to the dean. Okay. I would imagine that some students, you know, all right. Woo, I'm going by the dean. I remember in my day, you sent me by the dean. I quaking.
Definitely.
Because the dean of discipline, boy, you don't want to end up by that person. Let me take a quick call. Hello, good afternoon. Hello. Any contributions? All right, 627-3223, 625-2257. We're discussing the education on the budget. I mean, the budget is around the corner, as usual, you know. I had discussions with Karen Unias Teixeira and Mariano Brong recently, and they were brutally honest with our expectations come Monday, when the Honorable Colum Imber would attempt to give us some semblance of a budget. I don't know what it's going to be like, but what are your thoughts on it so far? What, given the last budget, you know, where did you see our education system growing in terms of what was allocated to the Ministry of Education?
Well, that has been a problem, and there has been a trend coming out of budget presentations and the allocations given to the different areas. But in reality, what do we see coming out? We are hearing these large sums of money being allocated, but we are not seeing what is happening, the progression or the progress in the different divisions. For example, in 2021, the Education Ministry would have gotten $7.9 billion. Right? In 2022, we had $6.886 billion. In 2023, 2022 to into 23, $7.453 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is the education system any better for close to $20 billion being spent within the last 3 years?
Well, boy,
right? And that is how we have to look at what is going to come on Monday. If more than likely, as is expected, we are going to get about $7 billion again based on the tradition that has been happening with this current government.
You estimating how much billion? Seven?
Approximately $7 billion.
Coming back to the education sector.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Because I want to believe that in terms of the budget, we foresee that education and national security would be the two areas where there would be a heavy financial input, right? And what we want to see from that financial input is we want to see productive results. And that is what has been lacking within the last couple of years.
Now, I mean, what is the school system lacking? And no, we can answer that question. Eh? That is a self-explanatory question. But let us bring it to the fore. Let us talk about, let us mention, I want it to be verbal, what, in your respective opinion, is needed right now within the education sector, within our schools. Do we have enough benches?
Right, and tables and chairs. And that's part of the problem. What the association, what TUTA wants to see is that we want to see the improved conditions in our schools for the teachers and for the students. Because simple research would tell you, if you look at Maslow's theory, hierarchy and whatnot, the simple thing of needs, if the physical needs of our students are not met, it means that learning is going to be will not be taking place. So if it is that they are in an environment where they are not comfortable, where they are suffering in terms of they cannot sit properly, where there is excessive heat, right? If those conditions exist in our school system, it means that the teaching learning process is not going to be at its optimum. So what we are simply asking and what we would really like to see coming out from the budget or the allocations coming out from the budget is that our focus in terms of the repairs, in terms of infrastructure and facilities that we have, so that we can have the teachers and the students comfortable in our classroom so that the teaching learning process can take place.
You think that is something that can be fixed within a year?
Definitely not, because what is happening is that many of the structures that we have, many of the schools that we have are 40 plus years, right? And the maintenance during that period has not been of the best.
Wow.
So definitely what is going to happen is going to take a period of time. But of course, what the association would like to see, what TUTA would like to see, is that there is a comprehensive plan in terms of how we're going to treat with it. So one of the recommendations that we would want to make is that we do a proper assessment. So we do an assessment of the school to see which school needs the repair and the infrastructure and the facilities upgraded, right, on a one-to-one basis kind of stuff like that, right? So when that assessment is done, then we can prioritize and say, listen, we can focus on the school Y, school B, as the case may be, so that there is some semblance of an ability to have the teaching learning process there at its best.
Hello, good afternoon.
David.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boy. Then 2016, yeah, check from all them budgets we passed over 60 something billion, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Every year. Right. We can't see a Sunday school, we can't see a police station or a school, or not a health center or nothing. Where them people had to show all these billions gone by and trillions gone by. You could tell you where all that billion and trillion gone.
There was a character.
They can't show me nothing. Mm-hmm. What they do with them kind of money. Look at the crime. We have a police jeep. No way. You understand? Check this country we are going through, boy. Them people like they piping, boy. I feel that piping government ruling is running this country, boy.
All right, Davey. Yeah, thanks for your contribution. 627-3223-625-2257. And, of course, you can send me a WhatsApp to 306-1065. You know, I heard you mention you want to see a plan going forward, right, where they're doing checks and balances with the schools to see which one needs remedial work ASAP. Have you all looked into the situation where schools were built and never delivered? Let's take St. Joseph by Wassa there.
Right. So, you know, it's ironic that you would mention that to me, because I belong to Arangwesdon Secondary School.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the five schools that were the latest schools that were built. Mm-hmm. Right. Arangwes was delivered. Marabella was delivered. Five Rivers, I think they're yet to be delivered. St. Joseph, yet to be delivered. Well, Barataria North, yet to be delivered.
I don't know when they're going to deliver St. Joseph, because from what I see in there, that St. Joseph, Cure Presbyterian, I imagine, I pass in my Cure Presbyterian and they had windows by the road. Nobody can see when they thief the window, boy. They thief it in the night, or
the entire roof of St. Joseph, from what I understand,
gone.
Was removed. Removed. Right? And we're looking at close to $1 million plus.
Over $1 million.
Right, definitely.
In materials, the roof alone could be $1 million. What about the infrastructure within the school, within the building itself, where they would have cut off iron beams and moved with some I-beams and stuff like that? I mean, we was like Bachak on a dead congeri. We get on real bad. You know what I mean? And I mean, we talking budget. I mean, I will make my kicks and think about it. Huh? But it's a very serious, serious thing. Our education system is failing because our resources, are we really getting the money? You know what I'm tempted to ask you? This is my personal thought, and you could chime in if you feel like. There are some companies, right? Some corporate entities where funding is allocated to a department. So you give customer services, operator services, outside plant, whatever. You have $500,000 for this fiscal year. And they say to these managers, these heads of departments, hear what? If for some reason, whatever you could bring back, when you bring it back, we're giving you what's called a stip or a bonus. So you're not wasting money. So you get 500 and you bring back 490 or $450,000, we give you a stip and a bonus. Do you feel that some ministries are like that, boy? So yes, the finance minister allocate X amount of billion of dollars to the education sector. But the education minister knows if at the end of the year I could show the government where I only spend maybe a fraction of a billion, I gonna get you don't feel that way sometimes?
Well, I'm hoping that is not the case. Definitely in terms of areas like education, in areas like national security, in areas like health, that could never be the case. We cannot even, I don't even want to think that something like that is going to actually happen, where we deprive citizens of those vital care just to show that I can bring back something to the coffers of the nation.
The thing about it is, why I mentioned that to you, Mr. Dorica, because we just deduced here that just over 20-something billion, could be about more, about $30 billion, was spent on education over the last, 5 years or so?
Yeah, yeah,
with budget after budget, we're getting 6-point-something billion allocated. And we are still in want of school repairs. Time and time again, after the budget is ready, fine, when schools are reopening, we don't have these... 13 schools can't open this term as yet. So what's happening? We still want chairs, tables, light and fixtures. Security are still to be paid. I understand that MTS, which is the security agency tasked with the responsibility for securing the schools, are not paid. So what is happening with this money?
Well, not only that, of course, being a member of the association, we also are concerned because, for example, from 2014 to 2023, teachers were not given a raise. Right, we were not given our entitlement in terms of an increase in salary. So we would have had X amount of billions of dollars being spent or allocated to the Ministry of Education, and yet nothing was done in that particular area. We recently signed off on a 2% by a 2% for six years. And of course, we are yet to receive that increase in salary or the arrears from that salary. So I am anticipating, and this is what I'm anticipating, that would be carded for or scheduled for in the next budget. Because, of course, the fiscal year would have been closed off as of possibly August and whatnot already. So it means, therefore, that is going to happen then. So a big chunk of the budget to come is going to more than likely be used to pay off those arrears in terms of the back pay owed to teachers and that mega 2% by 2% that was offered recently by the current government.
But then what happened with the billions that was allocated last term, last fiscal year, last budget, when the Honorable Ember would have presented the budget and give you guys somewhere in the vicinity of 6-point-something billion, mm-hmm. What would have happened with that money? Because we are still seeing schools in a dilapidated state where students are coming to school and teachers are uncomfortable. I see in some schools the railings are rusting. When these schools were reopened for this new term, September, what was tutors' position with those schools that did not get some sort of rehabilitation?
Well, of course, we would have had discussions with the ministry and informed them of the problems that we are having. However, the ministry has a way. There's a, so, for example, they would come, they would do some little little PR, whatnot, and then we go back to normal, right? But what we have some serious problems now. And those serious problems has to be dealt with. And I think that the association, we need to be a bit more firm in terms of getting those things addressed, because education is not something like the market, right? And education, we are preparing our generation for the future. And if it is that we do not adequately prepare those students, the crime situation is not going to get better. It is going to get worse, right? And a classic example is coming out of the COVID. For the COVID period, we would have had no school, physical school, for approximately 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in that 2 years, a number of students
fell back.
And not only fell back, they would have dropped out of school because of the need of their socioeconomic situations, the need for them to go and get work and whatnot to supplement the home income. And of course, after now going back to school, they are working, they are earning some, you know, some money. So there was no need for me to go back, right? Now, more than likely, the jobs and whatnot that they would have been taking part in during that period is not a sustainable, something that is sustainable, that would take them into a family life and whatnot. So obviously what happens, and we are seeing what is happening now in terms of an increase in crime coming out of that period, right? And if you look at the dropout rate coming from schools, it is extremely high for that particular period.
I am very concerned that we are complaining about something, but very little is being done. I want to ask you very quickly, well, we don't have time for that right now. So in the next hour, let's discuss some of the solutions that you think the association is willing to present to the government coming out of this budget and the allocations that will be made to you guys. Let's talk about what solutions, what are some of the first priorities that you all want to see taken care of with immediate effect in order for you all to attain your, to do your jobs to the best of your ability.
Engage with Davey on the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Once again, Trinidad and Tobago, welcome back. 7 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock, you're locked into the Overdrive here with Davey and your company all the way until 6 as we get set to wrap our interview within the next few minutes. But before we do that, we can't leave without at least putting forward some intended solutions or advice that, you know, we can give to the Ministry of Education as it relates to tutor and what they want. Now, I find you very calm and I like that demeanor about you, you know, but it's time for us to really send a message to the ministry as to what is needed. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Right, so definitely, we are not asking for much. The association is not asking for much. What we want is improved conditions for our teachers and for our students so that we can optimize the teaching learning situations in the classroom. We also want an improvement in terms of the salary situation, because teachers, as I said, are living in 2023 with 2014 salaries. So we would like the Ministry of Education to focus on the upgrades of teachers, the arrears of teachers, and of course the outstanding salary issues that teachers are faced with in 2023. We are actually coming to the end of another bargaining period that has not been negotiated as yet. And the two previous bargaining periods from 2014 has not been paid as such as yet. So we would like those things to be settled, and hopefully it would improve the status of the teachers a little bit, give them a little few cents buying power so that they can feel a little bit more comfortable to continue. Right? We would like to see happening as well a focus in terms of the support for at-risk students in our system, because we have a number of students who are at-risk socially, mentally, emotionally, and whatnot. And then we have the student support services who are lacking in terms of their support, in terms of their staffing, right? Overworked, very little staff. So we'd like to see some support going in that area in terms of possibly the hiring of guidance officers and social workers so that they can be placed in the school system permanently rather than have one guidance officer and a social worker for 10 different schools.
What?
Right? Well, we have for many. Usually it's 1 in 3, 1 in 5. It depends. And then, of course, there are some schools who may not see that kind of support. So we would like the Ministry of Education to assist in terms of those at-risk students and, of course, the special education support by providing or employing some additional guidance officers and social workers. Right? And, of course, the denominational boards recently, as of me, they were complaining about the amount of vacancies within, especially the primary school system. They would have identified close to around, I think, 700 vacancies in that system. So therefore, we need, the Ministry of Education needs to address that, because if they don't, if they do not address that particular situation, what is going to happen is that we are going to have increased class size. So we may have one teacher to 40 students. That could never augur well for the performance of that of those students, and as well as the adequate or the optimal teaching learning experiences within the classroom. And also coming out from that particular that area as well, the Teaching Service Commission released some very startling statistics. And of course, the association is looking at that because it has implications for discipline and whatnot in the future. In June of this year, what they would have released, they would have indicated that in the primary school population, teaching population that is, we have 12% males. So of all the teachers in the primary school system, 12% are males. In the secondary school system, of all the teachers in the secondary school system, we have 28% males. That tells us a very sad story. Because what is going to happen in the next, let's say, 5 years, when the majority of these males would be retiring from the service, right? We would be left with a service dominated by females. Not that anything is wrong, but we have to look at the implications as a society for this in terms of the education system. So we would like those kinds of things to be addressed in terms of the hiring and retention of teachers, because we want to make the profession attractive.
But then, you know, The fact that more females are gravitating towards the teaching fraternity, is it that, could the government be blamed for that? I mean, if they put out the vacancies and we want 100 persons, and out of the 100, I guess 72 of them female applying.
Right. So it's not that we are blaming. What we are saying is that we need to make it more attractive, right? We make it more attractive so that we can retain. How can we do that? For example, let's just go for an example in the TVET. That's the technical vocational area. So a teacher coming in to do TVET in the secondary school system would possibly leave the industry with 3 or 4 times the salary that he would be getting in teaching. So therefore, it is not attractive for those teachers.
Understand.
Right? Or for those men who would want to leave the industry to come into the teaching service to work for a few thousand dollars for the month. And that would be part of the problem as well. Right, so we need to make it more attractive so that we can retain the quality teachers in the service.
Somebody says here, since the trend is inclusion, I did not hear him mention that we are sorely lacking learning support assistance to help disabled children in schools.
Right, so that's what I just said, actually.
He did, actually.
The at-risk students and whatnot, we need the support of additional guidance officers, and we need the support of additional social workers. One of the issues the association is dealing with right now with the Ministry of Education is the appointment of special education teachers. Because we also need that. And that, of course, is going to deal with the situation of those children
Who
need those kinds of assistance.
Often or not, I don't know. I was told that teachers are trained to identify students with a learning disability. Now, when I say learning disability, there are persons that they have a reading disorder and all these things. So for what we know is that everybody don't learn at the same pace.
Definitely.
We don't learn at the same pace, right? Some people catch on very early on in life. Some take a few years. And what you get in a teacher's report at the end of the term, the child is lazy. The child needs to apply themselves. But when you take this child to get an evaluation done, they're telling you that the child is dyslexic. Or the child, you know, they're getting that. Mm-hmm. But then that child is in school. And what happens when a child can't really understand? They become disruptive.
Yes.
Because it's had to play with the other student.
Yeah. Attention span, shorter.
Right, shorter. Mm-hmm. So the teacher now is seeing that as a disruptive child, a child that is lashing out, a child that is not willing to do the work, a child that is lazy. But the child just needs a little more push. But they are going with the students that are grabbing the work faster. Is there any training?
Right. So, I mean, the basic issues like dyslexia and whatnot are easily recognizable. But of course, when we go into ADHD, when we go into some additional disabilities and whatnot, teachers are not fully qualified to make a determination. That has to be done by a proper assessment. So usually what happens in the system is that when teachers begin to recognize those same signs that you would have just articulated, when we recognize these signs, what we do is that we make a referral to the social worker and to the guidance officer so that we can get the relevant assistance from student support services. That is why I'm saying that that particular department of the Ministry of Education,
it's lacking,
severely lacking, and they are overworked. I mean, they are trying their best in terms of what they have, but in certain areas, in certain geographical areas, there is a greater need for these individuals to be out there. Whereas we would have in certain schools, we may have one, we may have a couple of cases. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to say prestigious schools, mm-hmm. but in those better performing schools, right, those issues may be much less than the poor performing schools, and that is where the need is. So we need these additional help, additional support there, so that when a case goes there, it doesn't take months for an assessment to be done.
What is Tutor doing to assist schools that are performing poorly? You know, you mentioned some schools are more prestigious. We don't want to segregate or mm-hmm. call any names. But what is Tutor's position on that? How are they? What solutions are they thinking up at the moment that can help those poorly perform schools?
Right. So what is happening currently is that actually that's my portfolio in terms of the first vice president, right? Education matters and the professional development of teachers. So what has been happening is that we conduct workshops on a regular basis with the schools depending on what they require. So for example, principals may say, listen, we need some development, we need some workshops in terms of classroom management, how to manage our classroom properly. So Tutor provides that kind of training and that kind of workshop for the teachers.
Break that down.
Right.
Mash it up for me, because what support Tutor is giving these poorly schools? Somebody is now mentioning straight up the alley you were speaking here, where they heard you talk about the social workers, etc. But more than that, what about sitting in a classroom sitting to assist teachers with disabled students or students that requires a little more attention?
Right.
If you get where I'm coming from.
Yes, yes, yes. Right. So these workshops that I'm referring to, that is offered by Tutor to the schools, mm-hmm. give the teachers, right? Give the teachers the skills and competencies in terms of what could be done. So for example, if it is that we have a disruptive student, right, within a particular class,
mm-hmm.
right, interaction, conferencing, we need to find out the nature of the problem, right? So they are given that kind of training so that they are able to identify it, right? And apart from identify, they are given certain skills in which to deal with it within the classroom so that they mitigate the problems that exist from there. The majority of those situations is because those disruptive students, they cannot fit in that particular class. So there is a disability. The disability could be a reading disability.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
in many cases, that is part of the problem.
Yeah, so because they can't understand.
They cannot understand.
They can't read, they can't understand what's happening.
And because of that, I don't want to highlight. The student doesn't want to know, everybody to know, listen, I cannot read. So rather than be placed in a situation where the teacher say, okay, well, read this sentence. I am very disruptive, so you don't ask me anything at all. Now, as I said, what the association is doing is that we have embarked on a series of workshops for the schools. So we go to the schools, we ask the principal to identify some of the problems that exist with the teachers in the classroom so that we can provide some assistance and training. I'll give you an example. Recently at Moulton Hall Primary, the principal would have said, listen, we have a reading problem, right? And we need to equip the teachers because some of the teachers may not be fully trained mm-hmm. in terms of dealing with that comprehension and whatnot. So what the association, via the Professional Advancement Committee of the association, what we did, we asked Dr. Winna Joseph, right? And we would have gone on there together, both herself and me. We would have gone on there and we would have conducted workshops and training for the teachers so that they are able now to do different levels of comprehension exercises with the students to develop them in a particular way, and of course to deal with the issues that they have in terms of comprehension. So that is just one example of what the association is doing with that. Assessment is a big problem as well,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we have to have varied levels of assessment, right, within our class. And sometimes we have the better performing ones and we have the lower performing ones within the same classroom,
mm-hmm.
right? So teachers need now to understand that sometimes in an assessment, even within the class, that there must be varying levels of difficulty, because you must give those students who may not get the upper level ones correct, they may not get it, you have to give them an opportunity of success. They cannot be failing all the time, because psychologically, that is going to have a serious impact on them.
Yes.
And not only an impact, the deviant behavior is going to come out as a result of that. So we are providing that kind of support and that kind of training for them. But the association is limited in terms of the resources to be able to do that. We have 600 and something schools. And that is why we want to partner with the Ministry of Education. They have a bigger training department, right? So that they can partner with us in order to deal with that.
Well, then here's my question to you. With every budget, it is known publicly that the minister would sit down with various stakeholders. Is tutor considered to be part of these stakeholdings?
Well, I'm hoping.
Well, it's a little late for that now. I mean, I would imagine that they would have sat with these stakeholders, relevant chambers, mm-hmm. Bodies, financial bodies, to discuss the budget of the country. I would imagine tutor should be a part of that,
and
where discussions will be held with you guys. Well, this is what we're proposing in our budget coming up, and listen to the concerns of the teachers via you guys.
Definitely, because I would have expected that the budget coming up, an allocation is going to be given. We could have sit and have a discussion.
As to how
they would have a plan. The
right.
Ministry of Education will have a plan, but we could have some advice. Listen, based on our experiences, based on the data.
But then my point, so that's just the ministry. So Colin would have called the Minister of Education, the Minister of Agriculture, call everybody together. That's just a cabinet meeting, you know, as far as I'm concerned. I'm talking about inviting stakeholders as they usually would do. But I've never heard tutor being a part of it. So I'm thinking, where's the president of the TTRN, the Trinidad Tobago Registered Nurses Association? Where's the president of TUTA, the president of the workers and trade unions? You know,
yes.
Get these people involved, PSA president and these people. Let's talk. Mm-hmm. This is the budget that we have. Be real. Present your facts. Let them know. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking education and budget. The education minister alone should not be a stakeholder to have discussions with. That education minister, by and large, should have now trickled down to the tutor.
Well, exactly, because as I say, we have the complaints.
That's
right. We are dealing with the problems and the issues coming out from the teaching service, and we have information, we have data that we could present.
What?
And so, listen, okay, we understand that the budget is X, Y, and Z. We understand that you may have decided based on your meetings with whoever that allocations could be given, but we are suggesting to you. We are suggesting to you that the at-risk students, they need some attention. The students with learning disabilities, they need some attention. The school in First Reserve that doesn't have a telephone connection and is kind of cut off from the world, they need our attention, right? Those are the things that we are willing to have discussion with and ideas to put forward, because we are not just complaining about certain things. We want to share. We want, for example, one of the things that we really want to see happening is a stakeholder initiative. And when I say a stakeholder, it's like, for example, a community school, like what we had before. So we have schools in a particular community. We know that there are issues in terms of finances. We can have an adopt a school initiative. We can have discipline initiatives on a district level where we have the community coming out and be involved in it. Something like that was done recently in the Barataria area, right? I remember I was part of it. I was invited to be part of it. And the community policing department in that Sawa Barataria area, they would have had a football competition for only delinquent students, right? So the participants in there were only students who had issues with discipline and whatnot. And that initiative was very successful. So initiatives like that we could involve major stakeholders like the police to assist with discipline, like the community businesses to assist in a little bit of funding to provide a couple laptops for the school or to have a resource room developed in the school so that we can have that IT room so students can go. So apart from the theory and the theory all the time, we can go in that particular room and be immersed in the technology for a particular period. Those are some of the things that we really want to look at.
All right. Well, let's talk about the reality and the crux of the situation as we have a few minutes before we wrap the interview. Let's talk about budget expectations. Now, we know we're going to get some allocations in somewhere in $5 billion. What are you hopeful for? And if given an opportunity, where, in your respective opinion, you would want to channel funding first?
Right, resource for teachers, or resource for schools. Not really teachers, but resource for schools. Because without the resources in the schools, the teaching learning situation is going to be extremely difficult. right? There are many schools, especially some of those assisted schools, right, that complain on a daily basis. They have no paper, they have no toilet paper, they have no cleaning facility, what? And things like that. So those simple little things, resources, so that the schools can operate, right? Another thing that I would want to see is that a couple of years ago, we had the ministry had a company called EFCL that dealt with the repairs of the school and whatnot. Of course, there was lots of issues with that. I think EFCL is in court right now. So we have EFPPD, which is the Education Facilities Planning and Procurement Division of the, and they are now doing the repairs. Now, of course, I'm not too sure what is happening with that, because it has been a dismal failure in terms of MTS giving contracts and whatnot. So what we would want to see, some specialized maintenance program. So if it is that we have one company, or the ministry has to employ a group of people, so that this group of people can do maintenance work for them at the different schools at a moment's notice, right? Rather than we have to go through the EFPPD division and the procurement division, that they have to tender and they have to do all of this and then issue a contract to MTS.
And by that time, a slab of concrete fall long, a student get bus head.
So that kind of bureaucracy in terms of the repair program is really what we would want to see.
To see eradicated.
To eradicate it, so that we can have the teaching learning process at its potential. That's really what we want to see, right? Because as I said, the research is very clear. If teachers are not comfortable, they're not going to give you 100% in the classroom.
Well, that's anywhere.
If students are not comfortable and it's heat and it's a lot of issues within there, the learning, that potential for learning will not be optimized. And that those are the things that the association is really, really concerned about.
Whenever you all lobby to get an audience with the minister, how often do you all get through, or is it that they pass it on to the next of kin,
We have monthly meetings with the permanent secretary, and I want to compliment the permanent secretary, because those monthly meetings are kept, right? As much as possible, those monthly meetings are kept, right? We do have meetings with the minister, stakeholder meetings and whatnot, but those meetings, the amount of people involved in those stakeholder meetings, it is difficult to get through some of the points that we may want to, right? So we try to get to the minister via the permanent secretary, that particular department, so that the issues that we have, we raise those with the permanent secretary.
Interesting. Yeah. And final thoughts before you depart. One, there was a teacher that called me recently. He's a primary school teacher, and I don't know what his tutor's position on teachers taking the initiative to bring programs in. What he was saying to me and shared with us here on Freedom is that he would have had drums, pan, piano, different facilities in his classroom. He says his lunchtime hour doesn't belong to him anymore because he took the initiative to help. And what he does is that any student that is behaving badly would not be allowed to partake. And he said he did have an incident where one was a bit rowdy in the school, and that person was dismissed from the classes for close to a month. And when this was done, a week, that student missed and realized what was taking place, and he's being left out, actually rehabilitated himself, well, got the message, so to speak, and was, you know, reintroduced to the class and is doing really well. Now, one caller called me, I think, or messaged me and said that teacher wrong. What is tutor's position on that, with teachers taking the initiative to create programs to assist students in the classroom?
Now, of course, we are all for that within the terms and conditions of the teachers, right? Because one of the problems that we have is that when teachers take an initiative, automatically it becomes part of their term and condition, and we need to be very careful of that. So, like, for example, if it is that a particular school has been denied funding, right? Funding is woefully inadequate, and the teachers take it upon themselves to begin to
buy a football, buy a
piece of equipment so that things can happen in the school. The ministry believes that the school is fine and the school is running well. So therefore, they have a bit lapse in terms of what they are supposed to be doing.
So then when we purchase these things, all right, permit me for going over a minute or two, because I know your interview was until 5:30. Is it that we cannot send invoices to the ministry and letting them know these were purchased?
No. Because what you purchase and what you donate to the school becomes the school. It doesn't belong to you anymore, right? It becomes the property of the school, right? So, like, for example, if it is that you Let's say you buy a fan because in your classroom it's extremely hot, right? And you purchase a fan as a teacher and you bring it there. There's a procedure that you have to follow with the principal so that at the end of, let's say, the term or the academic year, you can take your fan now and carry it with you because that is yours. But as long as you purchase it and you bring it there and you donate to the school, it becomes part of the...
Well, it's school property. Yeah. It's school property. And what you're saying to me, that once that is done, ministry would see it as the school functioning well and don't care to look back to see how did this happen, you know, because I would have given them fund and yet they were able to gain it. How? They didn't ask. So if the school raise a barbecue or do whatever fundraisers to get these things, there's no recourse, there's no nothing. Any final thoughts before you leave, sir?
Right. So I'm very hopeful. I'm hoping that things go a bit differently with this year, that the Ministry of Education recognizes the importance of teachers, recognizing the importance of these conditions in which teachers work, so that we can begin to improve those conditions in the next fiscal year.
I do hope and wish you all the best in your future endeavors with this. I don't want you to be a stranger. I want us to have conversations after post-budget. Because I am very optimistic to see how Mr. Colum Imber is going to present this budget and what goodies is going to come from it.
Well, let's hope it's an election year coming up. So let's hope that there are really goodies in it.
Well, and yes, the goodies, they're going to raise minimum wage by a dollar.
And the goodies trickle down. The goodies just don't stay at one particular level, but they trickle down.
According to one former finance minister, you can't spend what you don't have. So if you're presenting a budget for $56 billion, but your earning capacity is about 40, then you're feeding me much ado about nothing. Mm-hmm. You're just mama guying me with paperwork and fancy talk in the parliament.
And then talk about a deficit budget.
And then talk about a deficit after. Mm-hmm. You see, the thing about it is, I hope you present the budget in a simple way because I am tired of the bureaucratic talk with conversations that leaves out the average Joe.
Right.
The man that sits in the middle seat in a taxi going home. I do understand, but the radio on and yeah, it's budget, but they don't understand the GDP and the index. They don't know these things. You and I may understand it, but yes. I think it's high time that the budget is presented that everyone across the board can understand what this country is facing, what is happening, and not just preach it in a way for a particular percentage of individuals to grasp the meaning of what's being said. And then I personally go wait for the highlights. Is it normally budget is 3 hours? I think they cut it down to 1 hour and something now.
No, it's still 3 hours. Very lengthy.
I think because I remember Patrick Manning, when he was prime minister and finance minister, he would have given a fairly short version, you know. He got to the point and make it happen, you know. And I think there were two budgets after that where it was kind of, but I know budget is usually a very lengthy three and a half hour process, in some instances 4, you know. But Mr. Dorica, I want to really thank you. One person said good afternoon to you and your guest Davey. It's unfortunate that our school system have disintegrated to the extent that they have. One has to ask whether there is a real policy going forward by the Honorable Minister of Education or the government. Probably there should be greater focus on education in its holistic form rather than fashion and hairstyles.
Definitely.
You remember the hairstyle conversation?
Yes, we need.
What you thought about? What was tutor's position? Just remind me briefly before you go.
Right. So, of course, we don't want to infringe on the rights of anything. But one of the questions that we looked at is that in terms of the teaching learning process, does that have a major impact? Right? Does that have a major impact in terms of the teaching learning process? Right. So those are some of the things that we explored. Right.
Uh-huh. You ain't want them to come out with a hair sticking out like that.
Yes, there are policies and procedures and whatnot. But we have to understand, too, that this is 2023. Right. And yes, we put in these policies and whatnot, but we are guided by it. And we cannot be stringent in terms of, okay, we have a big stick waiting in terms of that.
So we should really be governed by the principles of the rule rather than. Yes, no, black and white.
Yes, just black and white, yeah. So we have a principle, we could adapt, we could have conferences, we could have communication and come up with, you know, an amicable solution to it.
Thank you so much again, Mr. Adish Dwarka, for being here with us. Don't be a stranger. I do hope that in the not-too-distant future, post-budget, the producers will bring you back, and we can have a discussion as to what we would have heard and what allocations and funding will be given to you guys. Thank you so much again.
Thank you very much, David. It was a pleasure being here with you.
Indeed so. Thank you.